This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More podcast, where three friends talk about the Disney parks, the Disney races, and whatever else we want to complain about. I'm Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, in this almost, are we New Year's now?
Happy New Year!
Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean, Happy New Year.
How would you say it if you're from Boston?
Happy New Year.
New York. Oh, you got it like
a Brooklyn.
Boston. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, it's great for me because I'm on vacation and I got a label maker, so I'm going to town with my staycation.
Oh, dear. Is that why there's like labels all over Mike's forehead and on the microphone?
Everything is labeled now. Everything has a place.
Speaking of labeling, also with us is the Dean of Disney, Mike Scopa. Hi, Mike. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Chris. Hey, Michelle, you know, it would be great if you could go to every person in the world and put a label on their forehead saying unvaccinated or vaccinated.
Oh, there you go.
We're not political at all.
Not at all.
Oh, Chris, you all excited about your race coming up?
Yeah. You know, I've trained and so this is the weekend. I just hope everything goes well. You know, I just worry with so many people that we might, you know, have a little super spreader event at the Disney parks. I hope they are careful and take care of their guests, but we're to leave our complaints back in last year. Last episode, we did a lot of complaining about what Disney did wrong in this past year. And I think for this episode, we're going to stay positive and think about how they can screw up this year. No, we're going to make sure that we can see, maybe give the option and say, okay, you're complaining, give us some answers. So the three of us are going to try and talk about what Disney could be doing to build back that goodwill that they've expended in 2021. So starting it off, I will mention that I've told you guys and the listeners that I have planned to not renew my annual passes. And I think this is a great way for Mike and Michelle to sort of convince me why I should renew my annual passes and what they could do to make me do that. So, Mike, why don't you start off and give me sort of what you think, moving into the next year, what Disney could be doing. Just give me one thing that you think they could do to sort of make me say, hey, I'm in.
Well, boy, this is just going to be a four-hour show, I guess. Let's stick with the annual passes, Chris. So one of the things that I've always had discussions with is that annual pass holders are their best customers. And so they should do whatever they can to please their customers because they are returning customers. They are their, it's a marketing arm to have annual pass holders who are annual pass holders because they are big fans, and big fans talk a lot and word of mouth will get more business. So in that regard, I'm going to focus my first couple on annual passes. Number one, of course, bring back the annual passes. Number two, no blackouts for the annual passes. Number three, year-round 20% discounts on all rack rates for all rooms so that you encourage people to come down more. I think by doing that, number one, you're going to encourage more people to purchase annual passes, and you're going to encourage people to make use of those annual passes by offering 20% discount on a room rate. So a $250 moderate is now, you know, $200 a night. And I think that would make a lot of people excited. So I think that's the first thing that needs to be addressed, Chris, is the annual pass fiasco right now.
Wow. It's so funny. It looks like it's your office, but it sounds like you're in Fantasyland. Michelle.
Oh, this is an easy one. Do away with the reservation system.
Yeah.
That would be number one on my list. Since Mike gave a few, I would say the next one for me, and not in any particular order of importance, but I love Tables in Wonderland. Chris, I don't think you used it.
We did for a number of years. Yep.
Yeah. So I would say Tables in Wonderland was always like the, oh, this is going to cost us much. Oh, no, it's 20% off. And no, this includes a drink. So I would pay more for Tables in Wonderland or a plus on my annual pass. But I think those two things. The reservation is just for me. I could just drop Mike right now. Not Mike Scopa, but drop my mic and walk drop away.
Yeah.
What about you, Chris?
Oh, geez. I really, like I said, I've said it in the past episodes, and I want more bang for my dollar. At least the first thing is sort of like bring back those, you know, the bands at Epcot, bring back the specialness of, you know, the plussing of things, you know, and
Streetmosphere. Bring back the Streetmosphere.
But I still go back and we talk about this all the time, the year of a million dreams. I just love that feeling of like anything amazing and magical could happen. And that's what it was. I think maybe that's what it is. The magical feeling that you would get out of spontaneity and plussing of the parks. That's what I'm missing. And I would hope would come back. Mike?
Well, let's look at now Genie Plus and Lightning Lane. What I was thinking is that the old phrase of nickel and diming people to death is something that it's like a slow water torture. Why not allow this? You can purchase a daily Genie Plus / Lightning Lane kind of status by paying an extra $25 on top of your ticket for that day. That $25 gives you Lightning Lane access to every Lightning Lane in every attraction.
But you'd still be, it's like paying for an annual, I'm paying for a fast pass that we didn't have to pay for.
True, but the thing is that you're not going to be paying $10 here for this, $10 there for that, $15 for that one. You're paying just a flat $25. And I think that that's something that might be more acceptable for people. Here's another suggestion: to reward people for coming to the parks. Every 1,000th visitor that passes through a turnstile in a park gets a free day of Genie Plus and Lightning Lane for that person and three other people in that person's party who is identified on that person's My Disney Experience.
That would be like every 3 minutes.
the whole idea here is that, and I think one of the things we're looking to do here is to give some public relations boost to Disney, because right now it's all negative. And the other thing is that I think that My Disney Experience is too muddled. We had talked in an earlier episode, I think Chris had brought it up, how the IT issue with Disney is never really what it should be. We would expect more from the Disney company. And being a technical writer from way back when, I know that the more you put into a software package, the more moving pieces there are and the more likelihood of things to happen that you don't want to happen. And I see that with My Disney Experience. It's very hard and cumbersome to go through and do things as quickly as possible. So I think things should be eliminated. That's a couple more.
I just want to build on that because my son is a software engineer and I was complaining about an app and he said, Mom, if they paid what Apple pays engineers, they would have apps like the Apple stuff. And so it's the same thing. You got to wonder why can't there's so many amazing apps out there. Why can't Disney get their tech together? I'm wondering if they're just not paying for it.
It always seems to be the thing is that they outsource that kind of stuff and to the lowest bidder and hope that it works out. But yeah, I'm trying to think like, you know, there's so many things in general that make me, you know, again, Mike, you used to say in the past, like having an annual pass, it should be kind of you should be considered like a royalty when it comes to Disney, because it's like you are the person that is putting so much faith into the company that you know you're going to be there enough that you are willing to shell out money way ahead of time. And there just doesn't seem to be any benefits anymore to that. I used to get, you know, like you said, you know, I miss the times when Becky used to call me or email me and say that, you know, we were getting $100 off of our, you know, our trip, you know, our per night or something like whatever the annual pass holder rate had turned out to be. And, you know, it's, you know, I know you still get like 10% off on things. I think that's the thing, right? 10 to 15, depending on where you go. Unsure, but I feel like annual pass holders, it doesn't seem worth it. I'm not getting any additional benefit other than if I go more than 10 days, the financial benefits weigh out because I'll probably be paying less than I would be if I were just paying for a visit. But I don't know if I'm going to be doing more than 10 days now. So, Michelle?
Another thing I'd like to see is that you don't need an advanced degree to plan your trip. So it used to be that you used to just be able to, you know, plan your, you know, buy your plane ticket, get your reservation. And if you're staying at a resort hotel on Tuesday, Epcot would be open early. On Wednesday, the Magic Kingdom would be open up late. And it wasn't really tricky for people. And now there are so many options to pay your own way and go. It's really, really complicated. It's complicated to coach people who want to go, because I'm really afraid that I'm going to make, you know, going to screw up and not give them best advice. So why can't just the average family of four who's got a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old just plan a trip on their own and go to Walt Disney World? Now it's very much, you have to, I don't know. It's just too complicated to be a fun vacation, I think. So I'd love for all of that to go away. Some extra magic hours. You want to stay in a resort. You plan your, you know, whatever. Today, you know what? I don't really feel like going to the Magic Kingdom. Let's go to the studio. Sure, let's go. So,
you know, years ago, I actually had a night school course on how to plan a Walt Disney World vacation, and they used to have a whole bunch of people. I gave one,
okay.
And there used to be people who there used to be something called the Magic Kingdom Club card members or whatever, and they used to travel agents used to come. And I used to, you know, help and say, this is the best way to go about it. Now I don't know what to do. I think it's very overwhelming. And to your point, Michelle, one of my next thing was going to be simplify everything. And a few minutes ago, was it Chris that said, what do you get 10% off this 10%? And you never know. For so many years, it would say, there used to be, I do remember that you could get 10% off your meals at Epcot Monday through Friday, but if it was only lunch. I think it should be straight across the board. It should be 10% off food, 10% off merchandise if you're an annual pass holder. The other thing I think that should happen is, and I think it should be very simple. Extra magic hour in the morning, extra magic hour at night, every park, every day. Yeah. It used to be, okay, Monday, Thursdays, and Sundays, it was Magic Kingdom.
You can handle that, but now you can't. You just don't even know.
I think on top of the expenses that have been just shooting through the roof, I think the complication of planning a Walt Disney World vacation, and for that matter, Disneyland vacation, I think that has turned a lot of people away. And that means that there's a lot of children who aren't going to see Mickey. And that kind of bothers me, including my grandchildren.
Yeah. I mean, even with reservations, it used to be just make a reservation. And then now you have to put a credit card. And now when you sit down at the restaurant, you don't know if you're going to get a discount or not. So it's like this daily dance of, okay, annual pass. Nope, we don't take that. Disney Vacation Club. We don't take that. annual pass holder. Oh yeah, that we take. So you just don't. Like, make it the same at every single restaurant in Disney Springs and all over Walt Disney World.
That's
because
right.
You just don't know.
You guys are doing a very poor job of convincing me to keep my annual passes, by the way. But I will say, I would, yeah, like.
Are we saying what should happen for you?
Yeah. To keep your annual pass? I don't know if you mentioned it before, but I know we mentioned on the last show is getting rid of the park reservations as a whole. Like we said, we think this is something that they just put in now and they're going to keep it because it keeps their numbers locked in, right? They can sort of have a guesstimate that how many people are going to show up to a park and how much money they can allot to each park, right? So they say, well, we're going to have 30,000 people showing up at Disney. We don't have to bring in as many cast members and stuff. So I would hope they'd get rid of that one, Michelle.
I would say another one, and this is like a public relations thing. I don't even know if I have evidence to back it up, but I think that they should get rid of Chapek. Because I think that he's just the fall guy. He just does not have, he's not a face of Disney that people.
Warm and fuzzy?
Yeah, he's not warm and fuzzy. I think a lot of, whether or not it's true, I mean, the buck has to stop with him. A lot of people blame him for these things.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a huge, huge public relations boost. I know yesterday I was looking on one of the forums and somebody said, Bob Iger is eating at the Grand Floridian, not the Grand Floridian, California.
California?
What am I saying? California.
Grand California.
Not Grand California. The one
California
in
Grill?
California Grill. I don't know why I'm losing my mind here. So he was in Orlando, and my mind started going like, oh, he's in Orlando. What does that mean? So,
right.
So not saying that he has to come back, but they were talking, somebody else was talking on Twitter yesterday about maybe Jon Favreau being the head of the creative department. At Disney, but that type of thing would be a huge boost, and getting rid of Chapek, I think, would be with somebody who is a darling, you know,
yeah.
Maybe Joe Rohde. I don't know who, but somebody who people say like, oh yeah,
they did that once before. They got, what's his name? The former head of Pixar, John Lasseter, to head it. And, you know, things did not go well after that, for him, but yeah, it's, I think the average person, you got to remember that we are the people who are embedded in this, and we follow the Disney news, and we know who Chapek is. I think most people don't know who he is, and most people don't understand the price gouging and all of the things that they're not getting. And, you know, I mean, I talk to people who don't go often, and they don't, like, I'm like, you got to make dining reservations. And they're just like, why? I don't know what I want to eat in 6 months. And it's like, no. You That's won't be I'm able to eat in 6 months.
Where you want to go, where you want to eat.
Pacino's or whatever, outside of in Orlando. But even, know, sweet tomatoes.
Because we were so insecure that we wouldn't be able to get into a park that we weren't reserved for the day, that we would reserve. Like, so if I was eating at Epcot that night, I would get the reservation at Epcot just for fear that I wouldn't be able to get in elsewhere. Like, if I did the Magic Kingdom, and then at 6 o'clock, I went over to Epcot and they said, sorry, can't let you in full. Your reservation's gone. We were getting nervous about that. Now, that's just me, who fairly knows probably that you'd be able to get in because they weren't filling up. But those are the issues that the regular Disney, you know, parks goers are not going to know about. And I think that's part of the problem, is they don't know what they're missing. And
I would argue at this point, I wouldn't recommend that anybody go without an exceptional travel agent.
Yeah,
from you beginning to end, helping them, not even just us giving advice. And I think people should use travel agents anyway. But I think you need an exceptional person who is like, it's almost like getting a mortgage for a new house. You have to be able to lay out all the possibilities.
You need a lawyer to talk you through that.
Right. Yeah. So like, oh, you have to. You want to go here now? You have to sign up for that, and we need your initials. And
right.
So it needs to be simplified.
Probably need to be an expert in Excel too. To put together a spreadsheet to carry on your non-spontaneous vacation. And Chris, when you talked about being in this park and you have a reservation for this restaurant, blah, blah, blah. Again, it then all goes back to the lack of spontaneity. And one of the things that I would like to see in 2022 is I would like to see them throw a lot more money at entertainment. I remember back in the 70s, back in the 80s, back in the 90s, going through any park and seeing all of a sudden music fills the air, and I turn around and there's the All-American College Band in the Magic Kingdom. Or I turn around and they're the Tuba Fours. I turn around and there's Streetmosphere. We're not seeing that. And I really think that the entertainment bucket, that line item, I think that needs a boost of capital. And I think that would go a long way to making the parks even more fun.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I miss, you know, Mulch, Sweat and Shears would just pop up in you know, Hollywood Studios, and, you know, you'd gather a crowd around. It would be so much fun, and it was spontaneous and, you know, enjoyable. You don't get that anymore. Like I said, everybody's just staring at their phones as they bump into people marching from attraction to attraction or meal to meal. And
well, Chris, I have hope. I think you shouldn't give up hope.
Well,
I think you'll be back as an annual pass holder.
I don't know. We've sort of gotten to the point, you know, the kid, again, it's not only just the Disney thing. It's also, you know, my kids are older now. They're, you know, 22 years old, and it's not, they want to see other things. I think at this point, I think they like going to visit Disney and seeing it, but we went in August, and to be honest, besides the COVID stuff, like within we were supposed to go for 2 weeks. Within, you know, a week, they were bored out of their skulls and asking to go home. And, you know, that's part of it. I think the time we go to the parks is going to lessen. I think this is Disney's plan, though. I think they want to cut annual pass holders. They want to cut trips down. They want to have as much outspending of money by a guest as they can get. And then, you know, not worry about having them come back because there's going to be more people. But and it always comes down to, like I said, so many people are oblivious to the reality of what it means to go to a Disney park. They're just going to accept this stuff. So, you know, I just can't at this point. Like all those people on the website that we talked about last week, I think, you know, we're sort of at the finish point, you know, like I'll go once in a while, but I don't know.
I think if anything would really make me happy would be the return of daytime Disney parades on all the parks. And I'm also including Epcot because Tapestry of Dreams, Tapestry of Nations, that was a real fun parade to watch as it went around World Showcase. I don't know if we'll ever see that again. I think that the kiosks that they keep out for the spring, the flower show in the spring, and the
wine and dine,
and that's going to keep it back. But I really think that's part of the entertainment thing. I think that should be there. I think a lot of things that a lot of people liked was often offered only in September was free dining. And I know that, and I don't know if a lot of people understand what free dining is all about. It's not really free because from what I recall, I've done it once or twice. You have to pay full rack rate for the room.
What's a rum?
For the room. I should be having some rum.
Yeah.
But you do have access to some dining opportunities, and I think it does save money. But back then, that was to draw people to the resort. I don't know if they need to draw people to the resort. Chris, you and I have talked many times about, gee, you know, blah, 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 and people complain, but actions speak louder than words. And if people keep going back, then why even listen to their complaints? But I think I think that the dining should be somehow tweaked a little bit. I was going to say, you know, get rid of the preferred parking. I just, you know, I don't know what that gains. I mean, obviously they want to make use of those people who actually they're taking advantage of people who have ambulatory issues.
No, you can still get a.
I know what. Well, yeah, but I think what about those people? Yeah, but I'm thinking those people who don't want to who don't do that handicap thing. You know, they may say, well, you know, I'm not feeling good today. I want to pay an extra, whatever it is, $25. It's just, you know, it's that nickel and dime thing. I think that if you throw all these suggestions in a hat, I think there's four or five that would really make a difference to a lot of people, and possibly, like Chris would say, okay, maybe let me rethink this annual pass one more time.
Well, I'm going to give you guys a chance to think, because I'm going to as we are starting to wrap up.
Is this a lightning round or something?
Sort of lightning round. What we're going to do? My thought was, okay, say for the sake of argument that all of this stuff turns people off and we see a vast decrease in attendance at the parks between COVID, between all of these problems, Disney turns around and says, how are we going to get everybody back? What do we do? I'm going to throw out one idea. So it's now December of 2022. We've seen the numbers go down. Everybody's kind of upset. Disney is worried that they're not getting, and what are they going to do? My thought would be they do like a year of a million dreams, but they call it the magic is back. And then sort of they start doing all of these little things again. You know, like you're all the things that you were talking about in terms of we, you know, bring back more people. We give out special treats, whatever special event goes on. Start doing that kind of stuff to say, hey, you know, we heard you. We understand and we want you with us for a long time. I think that would go a long way to inspiring people to come back. If they fired Bob Chapek, Mike, and you were now put in charge and you looked at the numbers and said, we're down, what one big thing would you do to say we're back to the way we were?
One thing, huh? Wow.
Well, overarching thing, that one mission statement that you would have to say, here's what we're going to do to make sure that we are the Disney that we used to be.
I would say to my guests that we understand what you want. So we're going to do two things. Number one, we're going to restore the things that you have enjoyed in the past at no cost, extra cost to you, like Magical Express, like a few other things. And we're also going to announce that due to a number of reasons, we are going to freeze our admission prices for 1 year. We want you back, and we want to open our arms to you. We want you to come back, and we want to entertain you. And the best way to do that is to reward you for your patronage by, number one, not charging more for admission or anything else as before. You know, we're keeping it frozen for 1 year, and we're going to offer you some entertainment that has been behind in the past. It's gone, and we're also going to bring back Magical Express. The reason for me saying that is that that kind of reverses what we had said before, offering less but asking you for more. So instead of paying more for less, you're going to be paying less for more.
Can I add on to that?
Yes,
as
you
your
may.
Assistant?
Yes, you may.
And we're going to increase the pay of cast members so that they can earn a living wage.
I don't know if that would be something that would, I mean, I agree with that, Michelle, but
that
I don't know.
Really,
I don't know if that would say, oh, yeah, that would get some people excited, but let's face it, there are guests out there. They don't care how much a cast member makes. We do. We know a lot of cast members. We have a lot of friends who they just love to bring smiles to people's faces.
It is a whole Disney community, and they're a big part of the Disney community. So.
Well, you know, to your point, I think that would make the cast members more, more in tune with making guests happy. So I agree to that point. There are some very special cast members out there who go that extra mile to bring a smile to a guest's face. And I think that what you have suggested would make them even happier.
Chris reminded me of what it was like in the Year of a Million Dreams. Not just the excitement of, I won pins 3 times. My kids were through the moon. They were so, so happy. But you know what was really cool? Watching the cast members.
Oh my God.
So excited to do this.
It's one of those things, like Mike was saying, right? It benefited the company and it benefited the guest. Like that's a thing that does for both. Yeah.
And the cast member. So I think I love the idea of a mission. What would your mission statement be? And I think you did a great job. I think that you have to think about the whole community.
I think you're right. I think to share a million dreams is a good point. I was thrilled to be brought to, Happiest Pass Holder on Earth contest. And I was flown to Soho, New York for the announcement.
Yoohoo, New York.
The announcement.
Yoohoo, Soho.
The announcement of the Year of a Million Dreams. They announced it to a selected number of people in New York, in Soho. And Jay Rizzullo was on the stage and he was talking about it. And I do remember him talking about how the reason for the Year of a Million Dreams promotion was to reward guests who for so long were responsible for, you know, building the Walt Disney Company, coming back, being big fans and everything. And it was a way of paying back to the guests. And I think, Michelle and Chris, I think that's what we don't see now and we would like to see. We want to see some type of giving back to the guests for all their loyalty.
Agreed. Yeah. I can't say it better than that. I hope the Disney officials, officers are listening and sort of taking wind of this. I hope guests appreciate what's going on and speaking with their wallets. And the only way we get change is when that happens. I'm hopeful for a new year. I don't think I'm going to still get my annual pass, but I'm hopeful that I'll start to see things from the Disney Corporation that makes me want to go back down and visit. So thanks for trying to get me to re-enlist. But so far we'll see. But it's going to wrap up for this first episode of the new year of Mickey, Miles and More. If you want to reach out to us and give us some more ideas of what you want to see happen, send us a message on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. For Dr. Michelle Muscribier-McLean and Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Aliopoulos. We'll see you on the road and in the park.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.